Well, I rather like that Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, etc., because what I'm talking about is Jehovah Papa, Abba Father. So to put a title to this would be God is the God of the Second Chance, or There's Always More. Most fathers whom I know do not believe they made a very good job of being a father, or are making, for that matter. Now, guys of you who are not fathers, you're not let off the hook. You could cross that over to your partners, to being a good partner, to being a good friend, whatever it might be. We guys tend not to excel at things like that. And the interesting thing is, having made that comment, we then proceed to do exactly the same again. You know, the old definition of insanity. So if I could share a little bit about me and part of my journey. Starting with a story, I'm sitting with my daughter Claire in a cafe in Durban. Recently moved the family down from Johannesburg, a 600 kilometer jump between the two. And we're having coffee, or we've rather ordered coffee, and the coffee arrives. And, you know, this is the moment now when you start talking. And she cuts me off, and she says, "I know what you're going to say, Dad, but I want to tell you, when I needed you, you weren't there. I've learned to cope. I don't need you as my father." Now, that's quite a conversation stopper. What had happened was that I'd been out of work, and I'd been offered a job 600 kilometers away from home, and I'd accepted it. Well, that made sense to me. I chatted to my friends, and they'd said, "Well, it's the only job, John, you need to take it." That made sense to me. I knew I had a strong woman for my wife, and she could handle, and that made sense to me. But how it would impact my daughter, well, I would be putting a roof over her head, I'd be putting food in her mouth. Tick all the boxes. Yes, I was traveling back weekends, either driving or flying up, and then coming back on the Sunday afternoon. And when I got there, you know, "How are you, Claire?" "Fine." You know how it is with teenagers. She was in her final year at school. She was taking it tough, and I wasn't there. Did I see it coming? No way. Had I deliberately hurt her? No. The outcome was there to be seen by all. I'd like to touch on the things that I've alluded to and then develop them, if I may. Because what I did, I believed to be right. And we've got a lot of beliefs in ourselves that to those around us might seem a little bit off-center. But for us, we use that as our toolkit when we are encountering anything. To take an extreme, a murderer believes what he's doing is appropriate for the moment. The people who threw away some mugs and some serviettes outside last night, it was appropriate, it was quite okay with what is normal. So how had my brain got to this point? The first one would be I had absorbed what was said to me by trusted authorities. Sort of a posh phrase that, but you'll understand it. Mums and dads, caregivers, teachers, the big boys at school, whoever. it might it's folk to whom we ascribe power. And we absorb that. And remember, this is starting from the moment we're born. We're building our toolkit. I had absorbed what my family environment was. And that was normal. And that had then carried over into the friendship base, how we interacted. And that was normal. And the toolkit builds on that one. I had added further truths that I had come across, considered worthwhile, and put into my toolkit. Stuff that I had learned for myself outside of the environment of those other two. Every one of us has done this. And here's our toolkit that you saw that I approached this little disaster that I had managed to put myself in here. Why do I feel that I can now actually stand up here and pretend to be an expert? Firstly, it is only pretend. But secondly, life has moved me on. And thank you, Papa, for that. I came into New Zealand basically under the definition of damaged goods. And New Zealand has been a time of restoration for me. And part of the restoration, in fact, probably a major part of the restoration, other than having a good woman with me who gives me input, most of which I don't accept, but do you have the grace normally to reconsider? To come in here and to encounter a Papa God, to come in here and come under Pam's teaching, and Pam, you've got good stuff, and you can put it across well, to come across Bethel and to be reading good books. So basically, I'm a bit different, but for those of you who do know me well, still under construction. But these three elements, let me return to them. A trusted source. We have in the Bible Esther, with Mordecai coming to her and saying, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this?" Heard him, acted upon it. Rachel and Jacob, they're making a runner now from her father, who had held them manipulatively for so many years. And she's been listening to her mum and dad and to the local priest, and they believed in idols, and they had their own idols in the house, as is still very common in this world. And she knew that stuff happened, for good or bad, because of these idols, and here Jacob was pulling her out of the environment. So, I mean, we take the idols with us. Dad can look after himself. I know that if I'm going into the I don't know where, I need these idols. And consequence happened on that one. Paul, he'd listened to the priests, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they'd explained to him exactly what this Jesus guy was about, and the havoc he was sowing, and anyone who was following him. Trusted source. Myself, John, you'll never be any good at ball games. Give it up. Still not much good at catching a ball. I took that in as truth. Truths we absorb by just the way we do it. You can talk about Paul again. He'd grown up in this environment. You trusted the Pharisees. So when they said it, couldn't be wrong. The Pharisees themselves, My goodness, they devoted their whole lives to this. Rock the system, and what are they going to do? No, you react, mate, you react. Me going to bed on my first New Year's Eve after marrying my wife. Early, because I had had a dad who didn't believe much in special events, birthdays, Christmases, New Year's, or anything like that. So here I'm turning in at 11 o'clock. Wasn't that a good idea? For many of you guys, I think as well, you might have come across this, where you're talking away to your children in all likelihood, and you say, goodness, I'm sounding like my dad. You know, the ultimate curse in our things. But, so help me, you are a good deal of your dad, because that was one of your trusted influences. So deal with it, mate, deal with it. Truths we've told to ourselves. Peter, no, Lord, I'll never deny you. Yeah, right. Job, choosing not to listen to the advice that his friends gave him. Something that sorted itself out. Myself, I'm no good at drawing. Believe it. Both good and bad outcomes. Now, there is another source that I need to mention, and that's God-infused truth. Many of you have had wonderful moments with God where you've had life-changing events. Myself, I realized one day that I was a Christian, that I ticked all the boxes. So at the point of my disaster that I mentioned at the beginning, I'd been a Christian for many years. God willing, I was a lot better than I might have been without, but still under construction. And we've got four examples of God-infused truth. Joseph's dream, knowing that he was prepared for big things before mighty nations. David's experience of being selected as the future king and knowing therefore that he didn't have to strive over it. All very well, but what next? And here I'm sure there are many books that can say it far better than I, but if I can light the candle, they'll put a fire under your feet, I'm happy that that will have happened. Start paying more attention to how you impact those around you, especially your loved ones. And I put that little phrase in there because the loved ones care more for you. So when you offend or hurt, it's a lot more raw to them, and therefore they're less likely to be polite about the way they deal with it. Guys, we don't know what's wrong in our toolbox. We're not great at looking for advice, and we quite frankly don't always know what the next thing is that God's going to be dealing with us. So start paying attention to what folk around you say, trusted folk around you say, because they're probably giving you a key to something that needs attention. Pick up moments when you do or say stuff that actually strikes you as not quite right. And we have those. When we've said something, we seem to have got away with it, but we sort of, you know, I really could have phrased that a bit better, or the equivalent. These are all triggers. Guys, there's stuff going on inside that needs attention. Listen to what your partner and trusted friends tell. That's going over. Big one is do something about it. I'm a great one for putting things down in a diary, which I then forget to refer to. So action needs to happen fairly quickly because, as you all know, within a week or so, any intent has leaked out. And that includes as well listening to sermons because generally by Tuesday it's leaking and by Friday it's forgotten. So, same sort of thing. Chew over and pray about what God has told you. Be honest enough to speak to folk whom you trust about a way forward. And then plot your way out of it. Kevin's spoken a number of times, and included in that he's spoken about the power of repetition, how your brain believes what it's told. And interestingly enough, that word told is put there specifically as in a verbal communication. Don't think about being better. Doesn't work. There's something about actually verbalizing. And one phrase that was given to me a while back was, that may have been whom I was, but it's not actually who I am now. I'm more than that. I'm more than that. And then talking positively about what you're more again. And when you fall over, which is likely to happen, double back and tighten up and do it again. You know, we guys are not big at apologizing. We're not big at admitting that we did something wrong. And in fact, we're pretty good at explaining why what we did was perfectly logical and reasonable. And that is something that needs work on. There's your first possible thing. And if you encounter something that's nagging at you, this is probably a gold nugget. Something that is deep, deep down and worth mining. That there's stuff going on inside of you that just affirmations or good intentions ain't handling. And at that point, perhaps chat to somebody such as Pam. You can chat to me and then I'll chat to Pam. And then in line with that, Pam has brought Sozo Bethel to pursuit. And I've had some training in that, which basically just means I've had some training in that. But there is really good stuff there for us. There are ways for us to have insights into ourselves and sort out some of the stuff. There is another big one that I have, which I'd regard as my bottom line, is spend time with God. Spend time understanding who Papa God is, the loving character of Him, the loving character of Jesus. Many years back, the phrase that was given to me is draining the swamp. Little by little, we become more and more. And for some of us, it might well be a swamp. Some of you might be offended, but then if you were to ask your friends, they could put you right. Anyway, best move forward at this point. Now, just as I wind this one up, a word or a tool to those of you who are around these guys who are trying to work out what's going on and how to become more. I've encountered too many Christians in my life who will give me a pre-prepared, potted answer number 48 from their own toolbox, which generally tends to be a scripture. And having delivered it, they smile. To me, it so often comes across as dead or demanding, be it scripture or not, at which point I feel like I want to puke or at very least turn off. Good intentions are not adequate. You may have been able to take the pull in one shot on that particular subject, but don't assume that I can. Years ago, another phrase was given to me: don't try and take a 10-ton load across a 5-ton bridge. it's actually very profound when you try and unwrap that one. And that's so often what we do in conversation. And if you end up with a 10-ton bullet for me, please make sure you spend some time with me, that I know that you actually do care for me. And if I decide that I can't handle the 10-ton bullet, please know that God loves me just as much before, as well as, loves me just as well after as before. Because that's the character of Papa God. We're all on a journey. Let's do it together.